podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's GigPod episode 218, and when the Celts go up to lift the Scottish Cup, well, Rizzo probably won't be there. He'll be watching the old Football Association Cup final in England, no doubt. But I'll likely go, and I'll complain about a performance if we indeed get there, as always, but what's newer. So joining myself, Stevie, for this episode is Hamish of Celtic AM. And Hamish, unlike yesterday's wee video that I did outside Celtic Park, you can actually hear me very clearly tonight, or in your case, this morning.
Is that a good thing, Stevie?
Well, many would disagree. A handful, Hamish, would probably say it would be. But yeah, many would disagree. But please, just talk away and get on with it.
Yes, good to be on. You've got me up at, the back of 7 a.m. in the morning. So that is the length I go to for the wonderful listeners of my favourite Celtic podcast, GigPod.
So we're going to be talking Celtic against Livingston. Another dirge of a performance. It's getting to the stage, Hamish, like, pre-game is the most enjoyable thing about going to Celtic Park now. Like, I went and got a pub tapas yesterday, enjoyed a couple of pints to try and celebrate me being able to get out of my bed after that horrible illness I had for a couple of weeks when I was on the video with you and I couldn't stop coughing. What a laugh that was. But honestly, that's where the fun stopped yesterday. Everything after that, the walk to the game, miserable. As I say, we're in the middle of March and constant wind and rain, just felt like horrible January match, Hamish.
Sorry to hear that, Stevie.
Anyway, just getting to the stadium itself, just that shambles getting in with people taking ages at turnstiles and that. Stewards just watching them as if, like, not even bothering to help. And then we, you know, get to the on-field mess as well, and I just feel as if I'm going to Celtic Park these days and all I'm doing is moaning and complaining. And I know I've seen worse, and I'll touch on that later on, right? But I just feel like coming away from Celtic Park now, like, it's no longer the release that I used to get, you know, going and enjoying the social side of it, but actually been for the last couple of years, just enjoying what I see in the pitch as well, and it's just nothing like that now, mate. And I'm aware that we got through to the semi-final. It wasn't exactly as if it's a loss, but there's a lot of concerns with that performance. But aye, what were your thoughts on watching the highlights? Because I know that you actually did fall asleep and you didn't watch the game live because, you know, you're not a real fan anymore.
Well, the game was on at 1:30, to be fair. Just on your original point, we really were spoiled over the previous two seasons, were we, when you look back at that, and you went along, you know, every Saturday or midweek looking forward to seeing the team and very rarely came away disappointed or not feeling good about, without going too deep into it, not feeling good about your life. It kind of cheered up your whole life, didn't it, the last couple of seasons, and it's not quite been like that this year. But yeah, as you say, we've had far worse. We won on Sunday, so I'm kind of still trying to take the positive approach. Yeah, I watched the game when I got up, and I thought we started kind of well in the game, to be honest. I kind of felt the team were kicking on from that Dundee match, and the way we started. Nicholas Kuhn had that really good turn where he let the ball go through his legs within, a minute? And I was kind of looking at that and thinking, right, okay, if that's probably one of the least confident players we've got at the moment doing something like that, surely there's a bit of confidence coursing through the team and we might get something good today. We obviously get that opening goal after, I think, 6 or 7 minutes. It's a brilliant goal. I love the fact that, you know, Kuhn's drifting infield, very like Patrick Roberts, I thought. I know he looks like Roberts, but he also played like Roberts when he drifted infield, and Maida wanted the ball in behind. If you freeze the frame, you see Maida pointing, and the ball was great, and it's you know, a great finish. And yeah, my frustration with a Celtic team is when you see them do things like that, you wonder why they then seem to not do it for, you know, 90% of the time. And, you know, two theories I've got. One is that we drift back into our comfort zone very easily. There's not that kind of same, you know, sense of wanting to keep pushing like we've had in the previous couple of years. Like, it feels like when the team go ahead, they kind of drift back and let the opposition back into it. But also, I mean, the defence is really, really not in a good place without Cameron Carter-Vickers. And you might be able to speak more on this because you were obviously at the game, but it felt like there was a good atmosphere inside the stadium in the first 10 minutes when that goal went in especially. And then it was just kind of sucked out of there when Livi got their really cheap equaliser.
You know, being next to the Green Brigade in the North Cove, there always is generally a good atmosphere at that area. And it's a good point you make about Paddy Roberts, actually. The ball rate he played was a lot like the one he played for Stuart Armstrong when we beat Motherwell 4-3. That kind of ball in.
Yes.
Yeah.
I knew there was one in the back of my mind. I could picture Roberts doing that. That's a good shout for you.
Honestly, I mean, in your video too, you made a good point about every single goal. It felt as if it was so tight and VAR was looking at everyone, even Livingston's like second one yesterday, man. It was, it's just sucked the absolute joy out of football. But I'm not going to go into a VAR rant. I've already done that before. I did it with you on the video last week as well. You know, focusing just as you said on the atmosphere. Yeah, started brightly, got a goal, and then everybody in the stadium collectively just groaned when Livingston scored the goal. And you know, this is a Livingston team, Hamish, that scored two goals against Ross County. But I mean, other than that, they've only been, you know, scored a single goal in like the last like 5-6 games or something. They've been unable to buy a goal recently at times, and you know, they hit the post against us. And Joe Hart made a great save with his foot in the second half, and they carried a real threat. And at times I was pinching myself, and I think a lot of fans, I'll get into the atmosphere in the second half later on maybe, I think the main thing that I complain about with a Celtic team is we just can't control matches, and it was so evident in midfield yesterday, Hamish. But you know, I'll get to the negatives later. God, there's quite a few of them. The positives, yeah, with Nicholas Kuhn, I did say, you know, getting into this game, that he probably was going to have a good match. He was under pressure too, but I just hope the fans don't start saying that's it now. This guy's cooking, he's brilliant, and I'm hoping he can sustain that and follow up on it against St Johnstone this Saturday. That's going to be a far tougher test because of the way that they were playing as well. It's not a cup game. I think Livingston came out a wee bit and tried to make a go of it. If that was a league game against Livingston, could have been a very different performance by them. I can see the game against St Johnstone this Saturday being a horrible, stuffy one, and it's a Craig Levein side, so it's going to just be like two banks. You know I mean, two banks of five on that 18-yard line. I can just picture how miserable it's going to be already. So he needs to follow that up. Because remember as well, we saw it from Yang against Aberdeen. Scored two goals, I believe. And it was a generally good performance. And then like a week or so, 2 weeks later, against St Johnstone at McDermott Park, it was an all-time hall of shamer. And we saw it for Palma as well far too often with the inconsistency. Also, Daizen Maeda is 100th game for the club, scoring the hat-trick. And a much-needed goal for Kyogo as well, Hamish. And you know what? He really deserved it. Cracking finish from him. And I guess it made the scoreline a bit more flattering, even if it didn't feel like a 4-2 game in the end.
Yeah, I think as Celtic fans at the moment, we are really, really reading into the positives, aren't we? Because we're really looking for positives because things haven't been great recently. But I mean, having said that, I don't know what you think. I did think Kyogo really took his goal well. And it's one that, see, when he was going through that kind of really weird spell, maybe, I don't know, a month, 6 weeks ago, I kind of feel like it's one he wouldn't have taken so cleanly. Like, I thought it was a really confident finish from him. He did look a bit frustrating before that, to be honest. He was doing weird things and giving the ball away when it was 2-2. But I thought that was good. And you know, it was the first kind of proper finish he's had, I would say, in a wee while. I know he's maybe scored a header and all that, but no, that was positive. And he'd probably be back in for me at the weekend, because I thought Adamida was poor, which hasn't been like him so far, but yeah, he did struggle, I felt. Just on Kuhn, you know, definitely positive to see him playing well. I had written him off for the rest of the season, I'll be honest. I just didn't feel that he would make an impact between now and the end of the season, and I thought it would be one that he'd maybe we want to look at in pre-season, and hopefully, you know, after a wee break to refresh himself, he could, you know, be a player for us next year. So I'm quite pleased that he looked like a player for us on Sunday. For me, he was, you know, other than Maeda, who, you know, kind of has to be the man of the match for his hat-trick, I thought Kuhn was the real bright spark, especially in that first half. It wasn't the complete performance because he did, his final ball was lacking on a few occasions when he got to the byline. He tried to cut the ball back and took too long or gave it to the defender. But I thought generally it was quite promising from him. Thought, you know, best winger at the club, James Forrest, looked pretty good as well when he came on. Again, you know, a bit like Maida, you know, I'm a big James Forrest fan. He clearly doesn't have the pace that he once had, but for me, James Forrest is still someone who can offer us something off the bench, and it's something I'd like to see more, to be honest. I think he has that guile, Kevin guile, to come on as a sub when opposition teams are maybe, you know, camped in and we need a goal, or even if the game's more stretched. I think, you know, James Forrest, he's quite reliable, I would say. I know he doesn't have that pace or that ability to press the game anymore, but that was a takeaway for me as well. But yeah, consistency's what we need. Like, you mentioned Yang and, you know, earlier on in the season, but even Yang recently, like, really coming onto a game for what seemed like a while, but was only probably like 120 minutes all in over three matches, and then gets sent off against Hearts, like, really disappointing. So we need consistency. We need Kuhn to come in and do it again at the weekend, and then, you know, give Rodgers a bit of a headache, whether it's him or Yang that plays after the break.
Right, and it wouldn't be like bad old gig pod here, Hamish, to get some negatives out of the way. So for myself, just yet another home struggle, as I said, against the worst team in the old Bells Premier Division. Livingston are garbage. You know my thoughts on them. Hopefully this is the last season that we do see them in the league. But, you know, again, I'm going off their reputation, but yesterday they did come and have a go, and they could have easily went 3-2 up. They're still a horrible team to play against. You know, we shouldn't have been struggling for 86 minutes in that game yesterday. And, you know, as I say, in midfield, just the fact they were unable to control a game. You know, in the lead up to the match as well, there was all sorts of rumours and chats I'm in about Cal McGregor potentially being out for the season, and CCV's injury being worse than what Brendan was letting on. Absolutely no evidence to base those rumours off at all. It's, you know, people are just putting two and two together and getting five from it. But I don't know. I've also heard the opposite, that Callum McGregor and CCV are going to be fit for Ibrox. A couple of people in forums saying that. We just don't know, Hamish. Me and you have no clue. No really privy to any information what's happening at Celtic Park. But it's fair to say, without those two in the team, Celtic really lack leadership, and you saw that yesterday, especially midfield, that O'Reilly, Iwata and Bernardo at times were just looking for somebody to guide them through the match, and they were looking lost against Livingston. The goals they're conceded disgraceful. First one, Stephen Welsh, you know, just letting the boy Mackay just run through and goal. He looked as if he was like towing a caravan, just trying to keep up with him. Really, really bad defending from him. I think Hart could have done better for it as well. And then the second goal, I don't know what Matt O'Reilly's playing at, but if you watch it as well, Liam Scales is just like bomb forward too. He's nowhere to be seen up until that ball is flying past Joe Hart. As a unit defensively, we're an absolute shambles. And I would say, I don't want to get on guys like Stephen Welsh and Liam Scales backs. I personally don't think, you know, they are good enough to play for Celtic. I think we've already seen a purple patch where it's done for players in the past, guys like Anthony Ralston, and they get a big contract out of it. I think it's the same with Liam Scales. He had a good few months, but, you know, in the last little month or two, I think what you are seeing is the actual Liam Scales. And if you're putting him and Welsh together, they just don't work. I think if they do play again as a partnership, that's really going to cost us. Talk of purple patch, I think Paolo Bernardo's wins over. You know, the Let Him Cook Brigade will be in tears, because a few games in December, and it was spend £7 and £8 million on him. And I remember saying after we beat Rangers 2-1, where he scored a good goal, generally put in a decent performance too. I remember saying to Rizzo after it, so I did, let's just see how he does after the winter break. Let's see what he does, you know, in difficult games like Tynecastle away, Ibrox away, because we can't just, as a fan base, judge his players in one or two games. It has to stop, because you just see it. People just overrating them when, you know, like, true Celtic players have been doing it over the course of a season. So yeah, that's my thoughts on that one too. And again, we had Amida, stinking performance. It seems like we've just changed our game to, like, shoehorn them in. Like, Brendan's been dying to make him his number nine, but see if he's misfiring or he can't link up the play. He offers us absolutely nothing. I have a feeling that he's still going to be our main man up front, despite his performance, despite Kyogo's goal on the weekend. I still feel we're going to see Adamida up front, to be honest with you, Hamish. And a bit of another rant is just the standards at the club in general are just a mess. Like I said, how much of a riot it was getting in to the game on Sunday. The stadium's just looking more run down than ever. Just wee things like, you know, the TVs at the actual ground down at the and a bit with the kiosk are, just jumping all over the place with a signal and like cutting out and all that. And you've got three people with a kiosk with like 100 people in a queue. It's, I know in the grand scheme of things, right, it's tiny, Hamish, but again, I'm just fed up going to Celtic Park moaning. I've seen way worse, you know, but I grew up not seeing us win a league. It took us like 7 years or something back in 1997. I was 13 at the time when we stopped to 10, and we've had, you know, a great run at it since the 2000s, but always want to see us improving. We pay a lot of money as fans, and you always want to see Celtic getting better and better, and that's why under that first season under Ange, we got better as the season went on. You could see the improvements, and then last season, we won the treble, and those good players get even better, and we brought in cracking players as well. And I just think when we're in this state from a position of dominance, it's totally unacceptable. I think 2003-04, I remember then, was 18, 19 or something, we'd won a double, and it was an outstanding Celtic side. And then there was a mess that summer, getting into season 2004-05, and then it turned into a shooty in with Rangers, and we lost it in the last day at Fir Park. But I think you get my point. I think that's enough negatives from me there. And I hate to be like this, Hamish, but I can't just clam up on it either, you know what I mean? It's the standards overall with the club are just an absolute shit show from the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I mean, there's an element as a football fan that you feel that, you know, when times are good, you need to appreciate them, because they're not always going to be good. No team in the world, you know, wins every competition they ever play. So as football fans, you know, you take the rough with the smooth. I think the frustration this season is that a lot of what we're seeing has been self-inflicted, and, you know, that goes back to the recruitment, which, it's just been as bad as I can remember it. And there's obviously been a real hangover from the previous manager as well, and there's no doubt that it's been, well, I've not really been going to matches this season at all, obviously, but there's no doubt that it's been a real drag to watch Celtic. I mean, the games where you've come away and you know, felt pretty disappointed or deflated far outweigh the ones you've come away and been absolutely buzzing. But, you know, this could still be a successful season. And, you know, the thing I would say about, you know, your complaints about, well, Celtic Park and everything else, yeah, I think those are fair complaints. But, I mean, that was all the case in the previous couple of seasons, but you weren't feeling it as much because the team were winning, like, and good to watch. It all comes back to the team on the pitch. That dictates everything about your match day experience. Like, the catering experience at Celtic Park and the queues and the state of the stadium, or, you know, whatever else, was, you know, just as bad last year and the year before, I can guarantee you. But the difference was you were going along and being entertained by the team, whereas this year it just feels like everything has not been enjoyable. So, you know, I totally get it. Maybe Sunday was a game for you that just really, really got to you, because, again, maybe you felt we turned a corner with that Dundee performance when it had been great and you know, we're ready to go. But, you know, there's still two trophies there to be won. I think the whole Carter Vickers and McGregor thing, it's going to be huge with regards to that. I would say if you know, even one of them is like missing for a substantial period of time, then we're struggling. I would say if both are missing, then I think it becomes really difficult to see this Celtic team winning anything this season. But on the flip side, if both are back after the international break, maybe Real Hatate's back around the same time, then, you know, things are looking a lot better, especially if Kyogo is, you know, getting back to his level. I firmly believe Kyogo at his best is good enough to lead a struggling Celtic team to the league title. That's how good I think he is. And I actually disagree with you. I think Kyogo will be in on Saturday against St Johnson. And I hope that's the case as well. You know, Adamid has been great and still has, you know, plenty to offer for the rest of the season. But I think I'd like to see Kyogo starting, and I think that's what Brendan Rodgers will go for. So, yep, overall, my conclusion on your, what, 5-6 minute rant is I totally get it. And, yeah, it's been a tough season, but there's still stuff to be won. And I wouldn't be that surprised if Brendan Rodgers finds a way to shut us all up.
No, I know, despite my rants and despite my moans, we still could win a double. It's weird, and that's why when people say, oh, this is worse than the COVID season, or I get COVID season vibes. No, the COVID season was done, and let's be honest here, October or November. I mean, we've still got a lot to play for. I get it, it's just feels like a real coin flip, you know, when I feel as if we should be in greater control of our destiny. That's my main annoyance. There's just not a lot between us and Rangers, and when you think about where we've been in the last couple of years and where they've been and where we are now, where both clubs are now, it gets to me, Hamish, it does. And another thing that gets to me, sorry to keep going on with the negativity, right, but we're releasing another new kit to, quote, coming up here, pay tribute to our Irish heritage tomorrow. So is it just me though, or are you fed up with this Adidas and Celtic partnership now? Massive hypocrite here, considering every time you see me it's all I'm wearing, Hamish, but like, even last season's one, it was like that dark green one with a massive shamrock on it. I got it as a birthday present, you know, but I did feel it was a tone-deaf sort of release when fans had already been subjected to some of the worst retro training gear, like 2 days after we beat Rangers in the League Cup final. I'd say the club are shameless, but I think they pride themselves on fleecing the fans and just saying, oh, fuck you to supporters. I'm certainly, whatever is released tomorrow, I can guarantee you I'm not going to be getting anything. I'm probably in the complete minority there, because I know that, you know, there will be fans out there that will buy it, and regardless of how this club have acted, especially in January when that transfer window, and how they've acted this season in general, fans are still going to line up and buy the tops. But good pal of ours, who is an unnamed individual that will remain nameless, but you know who I'm talking about, I thought that was the fourth kit we've released this season, but it turns out it's the fifth. We've had the terrible home one, that black away one, we for the third kit, the Spotify one, and then we get the, like, the limited edition home top, and now this one. Like, when is enough, Hamish?
It's it used to be probably two kits back in the day. Then you got an alternate kit for when we played Hibs, and even then, folk were kind of thinking that was a bit too much. And then it went up to four. I don't know at what point a fourth kit became a thing, but fairly recently, I would say, and yet it now seems as predicted. I think this time last year that the club would be bringing out like tribute kits and that kind of thing later on in the season, like they did with the kind of one that was released in St. Patrick's Day last year. So it's just very similar. It's a way for them to make money, and yeah, I won't be going near it. I don't really feel like I want to give this Celtic board, you know, more hard-earned money at this stage. So, and I think a lot of fans will feel that way as well. But yeah, I'm guessing the club clearly feel that they'll sell, you know, some amount of things. But yeah, it's a bit too much. It's not something that gets me maybe quite as down or frustrated as you. But again, I do think it's the club are just pretty kind of tone deaf with this kind of stuff, aren't they? I mean, that's not a new revelation. We know that they're not really kings of reading the room when things aren't going well. So hardly a surprise. I mean, we've literally got a Player of the Year thing coming up at the Hydro. Probably, in about a month or so, maybe slightly later than that. And that's going to be some event if we don't, you know, get our act together in the league. So yep, good old Celtic, eh?
I know, mate. See, just to quote John Coffey in the motion picture, The Green Mile. I'm tired, boss. Right, look, Saturday, we've got another game. Celtic are playing St Johnston. I'm not even going to do a prediction, because on Celtic AM with you, I said it was going to be a really comfortable win over Livingston. I was looking for like maybe a 3 or a 4-0, a real morale boosting performance. I'm not even going to do a prediction here. I'm just going to hope we get 3 points. Last time against St Johnston, it was 0-0. That was meant to be a one-off air performance. Every chance that could happen again. I sincerely hope you're right. I hope that he benches Adam Eder, and I hope that the manager starts Kyogo. I think if we do that, we've got a better chance of making a good start and putting St Johnston to the sword. A wee cliche tabloid part of there, Hamish, by half-time. But that's the only prediction I'll make, because anything else I've said this season, the entire opposite happens, and just feels like I'm the opposite of that King Midas, where everything he touched turned to gold. Mine's is the opposite. So in a couple of minutes, tell me how you think Saturday's going to go. And by the way, I'm not going to the game for that one. I'm doing up my daughter's room on Saturday, so I'm going to be missing that while I've got her, and somebody else is getting my ticket. Lucky me. I'm turning into Rizzo here.
So you're literally going to be watching paint dry rather than going to see Celtic, eh?
Yes, I really am.
Well, you can let us know how that compares to the current match day experience at Celtic Park. I think it's going to be a battle on Saturday. It's the final game before the break, so it really feels like win at all costs, especially if we're going to be without McGregor. Kind of took it from Rodgers' words that we'd be without Carter Vickers as well, so it'll pretty much be, Yang will be out as well, won't he, still? So it'll pretty much be the same setup as Livingston, which doesn't fill me with great confidence going up against a slightly better team, I would say, in St Johnson. So, yeah, it's a case of just getting through that game. We can't afford any slip-ups. But if we do win it, we move on. To me, it feels like 2024 so far has felt like, Celtic living to fight another day has been the takeaway from virtually every match. It's rarely been convincing. I think the Dundee match is the only convincing one you could look at, certainly in the league. But it's been a case of the team usually finding a way to get the win and then, as I say, moving on to the next game. And, those big tests arguably haven't really come yet. I mean, Tynecastle was, I guess, and we failed that one, but the really big tests are still to come. The tests that are going to define our season are still to come, and before they come, we just really need to make sure we don't throw away any more daft points. So, yeah, it's a battle on Saturday, I think, which is, God, a year ago if you'd have said that about a home game against St Johnson, but it really is. We need to win. I'm not even that fussed about a really good performance. It would be great to send us all into the break with something to get, to feel encouraged about. But I'll settle for a really drab 1-0 victory right now, get the 3 points and, go into the international break and buy ourselves some time in regards to McGregor, Carter Vickers, Hatate, hopefully no international injuries, and really get going for the big test after the break.
A nice wee bit of positivity to end the podcast there, because this has been one doom and gloom episode, even though, yes, reminder everybody, we are in the semi-finals of the Scottish Cup. Hamish, before we go very quickly, that draw is going to probably be in an hour or so after Hearts have finished playing Morton. Who do you hope we get, and who do you think we'll get?
I think we'll draw Rangers. There you go. It usually seems to be the case that we get Rangers. Yeah, semi-finals against Rangers. I saw some chat online, people saying they prefer to get Rangers in the semi-final than potentially have them going for a treble against us in the final. So that's a grim thought, but I guess it sums up where fans are at the moment and the kind of lack of belief we have in this team. Yeah, I think it'll be Rangers. I'm not massively fussed, to be honest. I can see pros and cons of, whenever we face them. I know Hearts are, at the time of recording, are still goalless with Green at Morton. Just second half just started there. So, yeah, I would assume Hearts would come through that. I think Aberdeen are certainly the poorest team left. But, they'll be getting a new manager in as well. Could be Lennon. You never know. So, Rangers, I think it will be. And, that will set up a pretty big April.
Right, everyone. Thanks for putting up with this episode of GigPod again. Yes, hopefully things do get better, and the run-in has less games like that one there on Sunday against Livingston, and the team do get their act together, and that means I'll get my act together and be a bit more positive, like I was with Hamish, Rizzo and everybody else for the last two seasons, God remember the days. Right, you know what to find us. We're on Spotify, Apple, everywhere else that you listen to your podcasts. As you can probably tell, I do a terrible job of hyping up this podcast. Rizzo truly is the man for that. But he will be back probably after the St Johnston game. And I'll let Hamish have the final say and where you can find him and what he does on YouTube.
Yeah, so I've started doing a YouTube channel, Celtic AM, it's called. And I aim to put out videos at 7 a.m. Celtic Park time, Monday to Friday. So if you feel like you're in need of some up-to-date Celtic chat first thing in the morning, then that's a place to find. I think we're close to 4,000 subscribers now, so you can just get it, search YouTube for Celtic AM, and you'll see the logo. And Stevie, you're on there regularly as well, and I think you'll be on later this week, so there's another reason for people to subscribe. But thanks for having me on, and I was about to say keep the faith there. I'm not going to round off the podcast by saying keep the faith, but I will share some sort of similar message that, yeah, Sunday wasn't great, but, let's keep going. There's no point throwing the towel in at this stage.
Social Podcast Network.